is 306 on the mighty 790 KFGO on this snowy, blowy Wednesday in December. We will get to some more weather announcements, and we'll take whatever road reports or weather reports you want to throw our way during the next couple hours here on KFGO. But I want to get my blood boiling, and I want to get some other people's blood boiling here, because when Governor Jack Dalrymple came out yesterday and announced his big task force to look into property tax reform, I kind of went, what now? Property tax reform now? Okay, in December of 2013, right after we had a legislative session, not too long ago, in like 7-8 years when property tax really became on the front burner in North Dakota. Now the governor, who's been in, what, public service for 30-some years now, the governor decides, oh, hey, you know what? We should do some property tax reform. Let's put together a task force of a lot of my friends, and we'll see what we can do. I just kind of went, what the heck is going on here? And I want to just get it off my chest and let you, the listeners, get it off your chest, and whether you agree or disagree, whatever. But to fill us in from the legislative standpoint and what went on during the previous legislative session, I wanted to bring in somebody who was actually there who can fill us in on some of the details of some of the offers that perhaps the minority party made when it came to property tax. Let's bring in Tyler Axness. He is a state senator from Fargo and West Fargo in District 16. Hello, Senator Axness. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing well, Mike.
Did you have the same reaction? I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm fired up. Did you have the same reaction I had when you saw the property tax task force that was named yesterday by the governor?
Yeah, you know, I was taken back a little bit. You know, if you were to just read the announcement yesterday or follow with the reports in the news today, you know, it appears that the governor and his party just now realize that the people in this state are demanding something done with their property taxes. And, you know, for me, this task force that was established is just another continuation of this one-party rule, playing catch-up and leading from behind on issues that we should have addressed years ago, as you pointed out in the introduction there. You know, this Republican Party has been in control of the entire state government for over 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
The governorship, the state tower, and the legislature. And instead of acting on solutions, they continue to form task force after task force and create study after study. And I guess my question is, how long do they need to be in leadership to actually get the job done? You know, how long is it going to be before the electorate decides that we're tired of letting this party kick the can down the road? And, you know, instead of prioritizing what they need done, what they demand done as a citizen, and taking the priority of an extraction tax three times in the legislature, something that nobody demanded in this state. You know, we need to prioritize, and the bottom line is we don't need a task force. There has been many ideas out there, and the problem is there's a lack of leadership and problem solving on behalf of the Republican Party in North Dakota.
Well, let's look at the last legislative session, and just to keep it simple, because another part of this whole story that has me kind of fired up is not only the idea that all of a sudden now the state of North Dakota is going to seriously look at property tax reform at the highest levels, as you said, where have you been for the last 20, 30 years, but also that Al Carlson, the majority leader in the North Dakota House and a very powerful man in the state of North Dakota when it comes to policy and governance, he comes out and says, well, you know, Governor, it's really a legislative issue. You know, what, stay out of it, Governor. What are you doing here? It's our job as a legislature to take care of property tax. And my first response when I saw those quotes and when I saw Al saying that was, but you didn't do anything about it, Al. But the legislature didn't fix the problem last time around, so you don't have a leg to stand on either, Majority Leader.
Yeah, and let's go back before the session started. Let's go back to the interim committees that met before that.
Yeah.
You know, the interim committees, what they do is they take the experts, which now, you know, the governor and the people on that task force are saying they're bringing in experts, getting advice from them. Well, we do that already on the legislative interim committees. We take their advice both in session and before. We put those into pragmatic solutions most of the time. And what the problem is not getting the experts at the table. It's the legislator actually following up on those recommendations. And let me give you an example at the beginning of this last session. The taxation committee that took up property tax reform before the 2013 session came out with a bipartisan recommendation that had input from Republican, Democrat, expert outside of the legislature. And they came up with a proposal that would exempt $75,000 of a person's primary property tax. exempt it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that bill ended up in the House, and you can guess what happened. It was defeated pretty badly by the Republican majority. Well, seeing that, on the Senate side, we decided to take up a measure of our own, and Senator Jim Dotsenrod from Windermere introduced a bill that was similar, except with the inclusion of renter's relief, which is very important to a district like mine, District 16,
yep, absolutely.
Over half my district rents. And instead of $75,000 exempt, it bumped it up to $100,000. Defeated by the Republican majority in the Senate. So we have that on top of other things, including, you know, other tax credits that were proposed by, you know, both parties, but both shot down by the leadership. So instead, what happened? We get to day 80 of the 80-day legislative session, and we have the House taking up this contentious idea of bringing back the K-12 funding bill, which included some mill levy buy-down.
Mm-hmm.
This was, you know, the governor's idea of property tax relief, of bringing the state share of education up to 80%. Well, Al Carlson, I guess, was mad at the Senate on the last day and decided to bring that bill back. And him and his followers decided to defeat that bill and say that we need to do a little bit more in the mill levy buy-down. So on the 80th day, the last day that we can legally meet for 2 years, the Republicans in the House went all in and basically pushed it through with very little, you know, merit or, in, you know, I guess what I want to say is little scrutiny on this bill.
Scrutiny or give and take or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, here we had, you know, about 20 hours left until the final gavel struck and we had to have a bill done. So they did it. And here we have, you know, this mill levy buy down that hasn't really been successful in the eyes of the citizenship. And the funny thing is, the very next morning after the final gavel fell at about 5 o'clock, you have Governor Jack Dalrymple, you have Representative Carlson, Senator Warner, get out in front of a podium and proclaim that this was the greatest, perhaps most historic legislative session in North Dakota history. And my question is, what changed over 8 months? You know, yesterday's announcement of the task force seems like a frank admission of their failure to adequately address the number one concern our constituents had going into the legislative session. So, I mean, the bottom line is, if we want something done, if the taxpayers want something done, they either need to drastically change their legislators' thinking or change their legislator entirely and bring some balance to the state government.
And that would certainly help. I mean, if you had some different voices, a different party, and with all due respect to you, you're a Democrat, Tyler, you guys are in a super minority. You're in a tough spot where you just don't have any power. And quite frankly, and Al Carlson looks at you or anybody else and says, don't need to even acknowledge you because you're not part of the discussion on their side.
Boy, and this task force is another example of that. There's not one Democrat on there. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, it seems like a lot of the good old boys are put around this task force that will, again, recommend things to the legislature, which is already going to be done in the interim committee, which does include both parties. You know, again, I just have to get back that we don't need another task force. What we need is real leadership in this state.
Well, and let me say some of the names here. And I don't know all of the names, but I do know some of them. You know, there's the Mike Montplaisir, Cass County Auditor, Ryan Rauschenberg. He's going to be the next tax commissioner.
Well,
isn't that right?
He'll be filling in for Corey Fong.
Corey Fong, who's leaving for the private sector until the election. Yep. Dwight Cook, the senator from Mandan, who, by the way, also came out today, I believe, and said that he is pretty sure that there's going to be a push for the elimination of income tax in North Dakota in the next legislative session. And we can get to that as well, because now we're talking about getting rid of income tax, but that's a different topic. Wes Belter, everybody around Fargo knows him. He's a Republican. Some of the non-voting members, John Gottfried, North Dakota Chamber of Commerce, Mark Johnson, North Dakota Association of Counties. It's just some of the same names that we're always hearing. And so I don't know where the reform or where the change is going to come.
You know, and that's a good question. Bottom line is we have to involve the local governments because, you know, bottom line is they have the final say in what the, you know, the levies will be. But, you know, we also have on the state level mandates to those county governments. You know, we have some social service mandates that the state right now is not paying. We're making counties make that up in local mill levies. Where the reform is coming from, I don't know. I think it's going to be a grassroots. It's going to be from getting new people in the legislature that are willing to go out in those 80 days and address the wants and needs of the state instead of misprioritizing those 80 days and focusing on an extraction tax, focusing on contentious social issues, and focusing on voter ID. we have 80 days every 2 years. We better get out there and get the job done by the citizens and the taxpayers of the state.
Well, and that's the other part of it that we haven't even touched on yet is aside from the extraction tax, which was just a hyper focus of some people in the Republican Party.
Senator Cook is one of them. That's
absolutely. The social issues and the abortion issues were unbelievable this last session. It took up so much time and so much of the energy and so much of the oxygen in the room that, you know, people have been talking for a decade or more about property tax relief, and all of this energy and all this time and all this money, by the way, was spent on abortion issues.
It was. You know, and getting back to what I said earlier, property tax was left to the very last thing on the very last day with very little scrutiny from the House.
North Dakota State Senator Tyler Axness in studio with us. He represents District 16. That's Fargo and West Fargo. We're talking property tax reform and property tax task force that Governor Jack Dalrymple announced yesterday. And I think that Senator Axness and I are on the same page here, that it just seems to be odd timing or late timing. And really, when he had an entire legislative session to try to fix the problem or get to it, you know, where have the Republicans been? A couple of text messages come in. Let me read this one to you, Senator Axness, and get your thoughts on it. It says, Mike, I talked to Senator Dwight Cook this morning on how property tax will be divided up. He said only property owners, individual or corporate, are eligible for tax relief. I asked, well, what about renters? He said, I have better things to do with my time, like going out and shoveling my sidewalk, than worrying about renters in North Dakota. Okay. Mike, 67% of North Dakotans are renters. How is that even close to being fair relief?
Well, taking the second text first, I'd say that it's simply not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And if the first text is correct, and I have no reason to doubt that it's not, I would invite Senator Cook to a legislative forum out in my district to directly interact with some of those renters that, you know, after the property tax relief that has been appropriated over the last few sessions by the legislature, rent has not gone down. Before I just currently bought my house, I rented for the first 9 years I lived in Fargo. Mm-hmm. Every single year, my rent went up. There's no relief there for renters, and these people are just as hardworking and contributing just as much to this state as people that are owning their house or owning, you know, the local grocery store down the street.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's, you know, we need to be all inclusive to the North Dakota citizens in this state instead of worrying about cutting an oil extraction tax, for example, mm-hmm. giving out-of-state corporate income tax cuts. Let's give the relief of this huge surplus that North Dakota's accumulated and give it to the citizens that actually call this place home.
Do you think there could ever be a day when property tax could be eliminated? Because that, you know, Charlie Nelson and that group, you know, Empower the Taxpayer, and Bob Hale, I think, was another one. They got the whole initiated measure going. And it was on the ballot, and they got beat down. I mean, they got beat down by the Chamber of Commerce, by Governor Dalrymple, by the legislature, maybe even by people like me as well who oppose eliminating property taxes altogether. But do you ever see that becoming part of the discussion again, at least from a legislative standpoint or a executive standpoint?
If the legislature fails to adequately provide reforms in how we collect property taxes, I would not be surprised to see that come up again. You know, I mean, we have an opportunity every 2 years to go ahead and address these needs. And Measure 2 was defeated with the assumption that the legislature in 2013 mm-hmm. is going to enact some reforms. Well, they failed to do so from the leadership of the state. And here we are talking about Measure 2 again and Empower the Taxpayer. So, you know, do they have a legitimate concern to come back and actually engage the citizenship? Absolutely. Do I believe that property tax should go away? Absolutely not.
Right. And I feel the same way. I gave Charlene and her crew as much airtime as they wanted because they went and got the signatures, and she put on 18,100 miles on her car driving around North Dakota. She did what she had to do by the law. Mm-hmm. And I see it coming up again. And here's an email that says, Mike, no question, Governor Jack, the North Dakota legislature didn't get the message or get the job done. I'm glad they failed because now they have opened the floodgates for another Measure 2 movement. And there's going to be more of that out there, right?
Well, there is. And, you know, I mean, I think what, you know, the Governor Dalrymple, by creating this task force, has done is really given legitimacy to those concerns of eliminating property tax.
And also by not throwing them a bone and saying, one of you people, Bob or Charlene, be on our task force.
You know, if this is one of those taxes that, you know, impacts everybody, have everybody's voice heard at the table. Don't just have your same old buddies get around the same table and hash out the same things and come back with recommendations that aren't going to pass your own party's legislature anyway.
We only have about a minute left, and I might ask you to come back for another segment here, but hang on. With a minute left, what would you like to see happen? If Democrats had the majority in North Dakota, which they don't, what would happen when it comes to property tax?
Well, you know, I mean, there's a number of things that we could look at. You know, for me, looking at the coupling of valuations going up and how that's impacting, you know, property tax valuations going up, good, but then it is accompanied by, you know, the property tax increase. Look at the state mandates that are put on to local governments. If the state's mandating the service, should we be paying for that? Me, I tend to think yes, but then there's also the concern of local control where that balance is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then just rethink the entire assessment process, make it more transparent. Making sure that people are knowing what they're getting assessed and why they're getting assessed. You know, big thing is accountability and transparency, and it's sorely lacking underneath this one-party rule in the state of North Dakota.
Can you? I've only told you two segments. Can you stick around for one more?
You know, it keeps me from pushing snow a little bit longer, so I'm fine with that. Yeah.
I want to talk about income tax because Senator Cook came out today and said he wouldn't be surprised if the elimination of income tax came up in the next legislative session. That's another big step when it comes to taxes. Even talking about getting rid of income tax. I want to talk to you about that. Our phone numbers, please join the conversation. 237. Little breaking news out of Grand Forks, North Dakota. It appears that Brian Faison is going to be looking for two head coaches because the volleyball coach, Ashley Hardy, has tendered his resignation in the wake of an incident that happened in Portland, Oregon during the Big Sky Conference volleyball tournament, not this weekend, but the previous weekend, that involved a hit and run, an alleged hit and run with a rented van that had five UND volleyball players in it. Ashley Hardy was driving the van. That's the story that's out there publicly. As always, there's more to the story, I think, behind the scenes than we'll probably ever know. But whatever the situation with Ashley Hardy, he has tendered his resignation to the UND Athletic Department. Our phone number is here, 237-5948, 800-880-5346, studio at KFGO. Nope. I did it again, Pinto. I'm back in my old habits. Studio.kfgo. No, kfgo.studio at kfgo.com. Right?
Yes.
I'm all flustered. I'm all worked up about property taxes. I'm all worried about Ashley Hardy resigning. This guy down in Oaks, North Dakota, the principal and AD who threatened to rip the kid's head off and spit down his neck. I'm all flustered here. I'm all mixed up. Tyler Axness, he's a state senator. He's in studio with us. He's glad he stuck around for one more segment, I can tell.
Absolutely. You know,
it's entertaining watching me melt down right now. Yeah.
Arms are flailing. You know, you don't get to see it on the radio.
I'm going to take a phone call from Charles. Maybe Charles can bail me out here. Charles, you're on the Mike McFeely Show. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Mike. First of all, I was going to compliment the senator on the good job he does subbing for you. He might just have to take over today as you take a little break there.
I'd be okay with that at this point, Charles. What's on your mind?
I'm concerned about the makeup, the demographic makeup of this 13-person committee. One female? I mean, that's an insult to every woman in North Dakota. And what, did Governor Dalrymple have to put a bunch of old white males together and find one woman to cook coffee and clean up after them? I mean, I'd like to know what the senator thinks of a task force of 13 people, which is questionable to start with, but the governor can only find one woman of competence in the state?
Well, Charles, you raise a good point. And this isn't a problem just for this task force. Governor Dalrymple has actually had what appears to be a problem appointing women to a number of things in the state. And actually, by law, we're supposed to have about a 50-50 split. And why we have not been able to hold the administration accountable when it comes to appointing females to the commission, or, you know, as a state, just electing female legislators, is something that we really need to take seriously moving forward. We need to have that voice at the table. Charlie Nelson was mentioned earlier, and even though I don't agree with what her end point is, she should have been at the table. And Charles, I agree. There is a concern when it comes to the demographic here, and we need to make sure that we're including all voices.
Thank you.
Thanks, Charles. And when it comes to the elections, that's up to the people to elect who they want to elect. And it's up to women of whatever party to run for the office. But when it comes to an appointed task force or an appointed committee, then that's on the governor.
It is.
That's totally on his shoulders.
It is. And as I mentioned, it's not just this task force. It's a number of different commissions out there in which we're supposed to have about half and half male, female. And quite frankly, it hasn't been happening over the last decade.
Senator Dwight Cook's name has come up much in our conversations today, Senator Axness. And earlier today, Bismarck, North Dakota, the chairman of the North Dakota Senate's Finance and Taxation Committee, that's Dwight Cook, says he expects an attempt to abolish the state's income tax when the legislature reconvenes in 2015. Dwight Cook says it's an idea that has come up before but hasn't gone anywhere. The Mandan Republican said he expects someone to push a measure next session. He doesn't know if the legislature has the political will to do away with the state income tax. Your thoughts?
Well, and I kind of take a little, I guess, concern with that last statement about the political will. You know, my opinion is there's enough intellect in the legislature to be a little bit more long-term sighted, in which we're not going to, you know, eliminate something that actually has been benefiting the state at one point or another. I mean, let's take a step back and look at why we're at the point where we are. And that's due to the oil extraction tax and the oil production tax, mm-hmm. both of which I will point out that Senator Cook tried to reduce drastically in the last session. Had those gone through, the revenue in the state's going to go down. And now if we eliminate the income tax and become so reliant on one tax, which would be, in this case, the extraction or production tax, we're setting ourselves up for some rough roads ahead, because that oil tax and the oil in the ground is not going to be there forever. So to be a kind of this knee-jerk reaction that we're doing very well right now as a state because of natural resources, so, to the point to where we can just do away with an income tax, I think is a little short-sighted.
Well, and that, to me, that's the bigger concern, the long-range concern, because things are great right now. I mean, great guns. Best economy in the country right now is North Dakota, based on what God or Mother Nature or whatever you want to believe put underneath the ground. Had nothing to do with Jack Dalrymple or John Hoeven. It had to do with a natural resource underneath the soil. But if you make these long-range changes, if you make income tax elimination, if you make property tax elimination, if you reduce the oil extraction tax, those are things that are going to haunt you for decades, because the oil, yeah, it might be here 30 years. Things might be great for the next 30 years, but I hope the world doesn't end in 30 years. I hope that North Dakota's on the map in 100 years or 200 years. And so I think those things need to be talked about and discussed.
Yeah, well, and I think what I've seen and what I've been frustrated with over the past decade following the North Dakota legislature, which actually, you know, kind of pushed me into deciding to run, is the fact that we have these reactionary approaches, these short-sighted ideas coming out of Bismarck. You know, as you mentioned, you know, yeah, times are good right now, but we're not prepared for 30 years down the road. I mean, there wasn't the adequate investment in Western North Dakota, which now, of course, is another thing coming up after the session, saying, hey, we need to do more. Senator Warner brings up, we need to expand the state revenue investment into Highway, I think it was 85.
Mm-hmm,
out there.
Yep.
You know, there's all these knee-jerk, let's get these done, pat ourselves on the back after the session, then come back to realize, hey, we didn't do it adequately enough by the people of the state. And if you take that into income taxes, we're going to be potentially setting our future generations up for a little bit of hardship that we can prevent right now.
Would you ever be in favor of getting a check into the hands of North Dakota citizens like Alaska does? It's a whole different ball game. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with property tax or income tax, but that may come up again sometime in the future as well, because you're putting money back in the hands of the citizens of North Dakota.
You know, and we've had a number of people, or at least I have in my district, bring that concept forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, I have been up to Anchorage, Alaska, and it just happened to be the time that they got their $1,000, every man, woman, and child, and they reinvested into their state and into their local community. So, yeah, I see the benefit in that. I don't know where I stand making that decision at this point. There's other things that need to be addressed before we decide to write a check. Again, bringing up infrastructure across the strait. You know, there's a high percentage of our bridges that need replacement or repair. Roads, our higher education system, the students that are going into debt because the state is not putting caps mm-hmm. on tuition. There's a number of other things that we can do right now. I don't know that cutting a check to every man, woman, and child is the right approach. Right,
I think that if you had real property tax reform where people would see it now and in the long term, I think that would satisfy the citizens of North Dakota enough where they'd say, okay, that they've done something for us.
Yeah, you know,
we don't need the check because you did it for us from the legislature.
Well, and I believe that the people in the state are pragmatic enough and common sense enough to where they realize that tax dollars do have a benefit if they're used responsibly and in a timely fashion, and not waiting until 10 years down the road realizing that we've let the leak in the roof, you know, expand to where the roof's caving in. So I tend to agree that if we give adequate relief in the form that they want, and it was clear going into this session that they wanted that relief in property tax reform, that they will be fine going forward with the way that we have things after that reform takes place.
Senator Axness, I hate to tell you this, but you are on your way to go move some snow now for the rest of the afternoon. If you want to stop by my house up in Oakport Township, please do so. So my driveway's clear.
You do
before
have
I get
a snowblower, correct?
I do.
I heard, yeah.
Nice that, John Deere.
And
oh,
I
absolutely.
Heard that that's not considered housework in the household.
It's not considered. My wife doesn't consider me blowing snow or mowing the lawn or raking leaves or doing anything that I enjoy outside as work.
I don't know.
So
I
it wouldn't even be work for
sure.
you.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, if that's the case, as long as you have, you know, like a nice fried chicken in there for me or something afterwards maybe a couple ice cold Dr. Peppers, I don't know.
I have a fridge in the garage that's nicely stocked as well. You can have access to that as much as you want.
All right. Sounds
Senator,
good, Mike.
Thank you, Senator Axness.
Absolutely.
Hey,
thanks.
Come back in December and guest host for me, by the way.
Absolutely.
Can you do that?
Yeah, okay. I can do that.
You did a great job last time. Senator Tyler Axness, District 16.